normally this time of year, I would probably be somewhere on a bear hunt or thinking about a bear hunt. But as it works out, the borders are still closed in between here and in Canada. But Alaska is open. And of course, I got a few black bear seasons that are opening up in some of the states in the northern states. But Luke, I'll tell you what, I've so much enjoyed hunting bears in years past, particularly black bear, and I've been fortunate to hunt grizzlies and brown bear. Never had a desire to hunt a polar bear, but bear hunting is so much fun, and there's so many different ways to do it. And you know, if you've got the opportunity to do so, right now is a great time to get out and look for a bear. And even, I guess, if you can't go bear hunting, you know, if you got bear in your area, maybe you might just get out with your camera and try to do some looking for one.
Bear make for some great photography opportunities. You know, on the side of my truck, my old pickup that I drive,
yes, sir,
my GMC, it's probably been 5 years ago, but a buddy and I had a little guide service up there north of Steamboat Springs in northern Colorado, and for elk, it's archery hunting only, and it was elk and bear that we offered. But those had a bear. I was actually up on a little knoll above it's a pond. We call it, the elk used it for a wallow, but it was really just a pond from a spring back up there on the side of the mountain that, where it come down in the valley. Well, I was up there calling for elk, you know, doing some cow calling and all that. The rut wasn't really going strong at the time. And I heard, you know, more or less a whisper. I don't know how to describe it, but something just said, look to your left. I looked to the left, and, you know, for that country, a big, probably pushing 300 pounds. You've seen the picture. I had my camera out, too, with the long lens. And this bear came up within, you know, I'm gonna say 25 feet, and I had the lens going, and I kind of know what a quail might feel like when a bobcat's stalking. You know, I'm sitting on the ground, and you know, it's a 300 pound bear, I guess, close to that, and I just swung that lens around and focused on that bear and started shooting pictures, and it. And if it's late in the evening, it would flash, you know, that bear would look. And I thought, oh, he's either going to do one or two things. He's going to run, or he's going to come my way, and there's not much I can do about it, you know. But honestly, the bear, it posed for me and then just decided to walk off. He just turned around and ambled down the hill, you know. But I took that picture, and the truck is wrapped. And the guy that does the work on the wraps, I asked him, could he put pictures on there? And I sent him that picture. Every time I look at that bear, I think about sitting on the ground and the black bear coming up. But black bear, they're just a mystique about them. It doesn't take a great big bear to convince a hunter that who the apex in that situation really is. You know? I mean, they are formidable critters, aren't they? Even black bear.
They really are. You mentioned the time frame during the fall, and in the years past, I've hunted up in Canada and a little bit in the western states, and also up in Alaska. And there, even in the springtime, quite often I've used just a mouth-blown predator call like those that Burnham Brothers puts out, like their C3 call that I carry everywhere. And I've actually called up bears in the springtime, and they're... I've used that call two different ways. One, just kind of doing, or three different ways, I guess I should say, just be a blind call to where you're in an area where you find a lot of scat and you find a lot of food. There's no doubt, you know, they're bare in there, and just find a spot where you can see, and particularly looking downwind, because like all predators, they approach sounds pretty much from the downwind side. And so I'd get up there and I'd just start calling. And I learned that as long as I kept calling, if there was a bear in the area, not really slowing down hardly at all, that bear would keep coming. And we've called bear coming in to call just kind of blind calls. But two, there's times when we've seen them up on a hillside somewhere, and particularly in the springtime when the elk calves are being born, or maybe deer fawns, or, you know, moose calves or whatever, kind of depending on where you are, and just start making that distress call. Particularly old mature bears, I'm talking about old boars, will come in at an absolutely dead run charging in, and that's a lot of fun. It gets a little scary. And then, too, sometimes when I've used it as well, that same call, when I've had bear where I could see them not that far away, but I couldn't really see what they looked like to make sure whether they were an older bear or a young bear, you could just see some hair, and just blow a little bit, and a lot of times they would stand up on their hind legs and kind of look at you, and that gave you an opportunity to kind of evaluate whether that was a bear that you really wanted to go after or, you know, one that you wanted to leave alone and go someplace else. So the calling works great in the springtime. And then, like you say, too, several years ago, we were elk hunting in northern New Mexico, Bill Whitfield and Lee Pfluger and I, and I was calling, and we were trying to call in some elk that were in the area that we had already seen that we're trying to get Bill onto. And as I'm calling, this absolutely monstrous bear, kind of a chocolate brown, kind of started stalking Bill, and he finally got within about 25 yards, and I was watching it, and I was trying to get Bill's attention. About the time he got within about 25 yards, Lee Pfluger started throwing rocks at the bear and then jumped up and ran down there and chased him off. So, you know, you got to be aware sometimes, even during the fall or springtime, if you're going to be out, that the bears are there. And they might respond to calls better than what you think they might.
True, Larry. Mark Bellette, one of my longtime friends and a friend of yours, you've hunted with Mark.
Oh, absolutely.
Mark,
yes,
he is. And one of the most experienced hunters, he has a hunting ranch down in East Texas, down around Trinity, in that neck of the woods. But he had an interesting thing happen to him with black bear. He was guiding up there with us. And of course, he told the story, and when we were not guiding, then we could hunt on our own, you know, usually
right.
A couple of days a week that we'd have free between hunts. Well, he was up in a ladder stand, that you could, you know, just walk up the ladder and get in the stand.
Right.
And there was a sow with two cubs, and I guess they were that year's cubs. Of course, I didn't see them. Mark told us about it. The cubs come up, started sniffing around. They were, I guess they were pretty good size, but it was an aspen tree. And the cubs and a bushy limbs above Mark's seat where he was sitting. He was probably 12 feet up this tree, something like that. It's kind of a short stand. And he said those little cubs went up there. I guess they were curious. They went on up and went up above him and got up in the limbs of that tree. And I would give anything to have had a video. Larry, the sow come up and looked up, and he said it was just probably a, you know, normal Colorado 160-pound,
right,
you know, sow. Yep. Not a great big one.
Big enough.
And he said that thing started huffing, and those little cubs scurrying around, moving around up there, and they wouldn't come down because they were above a human, I guess. He said that bear... they can climb an aspen tree like a squirrel can climb an oak tree. You know, a bear can. You
amazingly
know,
fast.
Yeah, they can. He said in a flash that bear was up there on the opposite side of the tree, and this happened. And I know people listening that's hunted bear lots probably got their own stories. He said the breath on that bear, he still remembers. And I have to get Mark to tell you this story. He said the bear, he looked around, and that bear was behind him on the back side of that tree. He said he looked around, that bear's just teeth, all he could see. I said, what did you do? And this happened. I said, what'd you do, Mark? He said, I just froze. He said, I didn't know what to do. I just froze and hoped for the best. And then, you know, the next question, well, what happened? He said, well, then that bear started making that huffing sound, and those little ones somehow, she was telling them to get down out of that tree, I guess. And he said the bear bumped down, hit the ground, and looked, you know, the sow was still looking up, making that huffing sound, and said, here come the little ones down, and they walked off. And Mark has had he's had more close calls with bear than anybody I know. That's just one of the instances, you know. But it's not uncommon. Especially like a ladder stand, not uncommon at all for a bear to get to the base of it and at least come up a little bit on those stands. I've had that happen. You'd think they would just run off, but I guess the curiosity in a bear causes them to want to check you out. I don't know.
I think that's probably what it is, but, you know, that can get a little Western in those kind of situations. I've been, over the years, been being charged by black bear, and you know that can get a little hairy too, because those black bear can move and run so fast, and even on those false charges, a lot of times they'll just come charging in on you, and they'll stop out there at about 15, 20 yards at the most, and sometimes even closer. And you know, just to sit there and wait, and you think, well, you know, I can recover very quickly if that bear comes the rest of the way. You can't imagine how fast a bear can be when he's running at you. But thankfully, in those situations, the bear stopped, and I did not have to shoot him. And that's happened both in the springtime and in the fall. And, ooh, I tell you what, it is absolutely amazing how fast they can run. And in those situations, I know Mark was probably hunting with a bow and with an arrow.
Yep.
And in my situations, I was hunting with the 375 Ruger or 375 H&H or a 300 Win Mag or whatever, you know, and of course, shooting horned ammo on top with a Trigicon scope, but so I could get on target quick and had stopping power. But I tell you what, it can get a little scary at times when that happens.
It can. Well, Larry, I'm getting fired up here. I'm you know, no bear to hunt here in Texas where I'm at, but I know where there's a bunch of hogs, and I think you and I need to plan us a day or two, maybe get with our buddy Jeff Rice and go after some fresh pork.
You know what, there is never a time when that doesn't cross my mind, and I know that you think the same way. And to me, this is a great time to get out and do some hog hunts and to do some scouting, particularly, you know, there are hogs pretty much scattered all over anymore, and particularly if you're from Texas and California and, you know, and even the other parts, all the Southeast and some of the Midwest. And so now is a great time to get out if you can. If it's legal to do so, go out and hunt hogs and great time to start looking for where you're going to hunt deer a little bit later on this fall. Look for old rubs and where there were scrapes and, you know, kind of where there looked like there are going to be some acorns. We're going to be able to tell here for too very long, persimmons and some of the other soft mass type things.
Yep.
So great time to get out right now. And whether you're looking for bear or whether you're looking for hogs or for that matter of fact, if you can find an excuse to go look for a Tyrannosaurus Rex, it's a great time to get
That's
out.
That's right, Larry. It is. Well, I tell you, you know, hogs are a whole different topic. Maybe on our, we'll maybe talk some more about hog hunting on our next episode. What do you say?
I think that's an absolutely great idea.